Ruth Halpern. Ruth is a member of DSTO, so that was one of the acronyms I mentioned this morning, which stands for Developmental Services Toronto, and is the committee of, what's the number these days, 37, 36, somewhere around there. Karen, confirmation. Developmental Service Providers in Toronto. Ruth also chairs the Aging and Lifelong Supports Work Group. She volunteers with Jewish Vocational Services on their marketing committee and for the Toronto Public Library's Adult Literacy Program. In 2012, oh, she got to retire after 33 years in the banking industry, hence Ruth's lovely glow this morning, which you'll see in a moment. She wasn't in the last few weeks. Ruth and her husband David are parents of three grown children, one of whom has Down syndrome. So we're going to hear from Ruth first, and then Sandy, and then Jennifer Scott, Jennifer Ring. There's Jennifer. Jennifer is currently the director of LTC Placement Services for the Central Community Care Access Center, a position she has held for the last 12 years. She's currently on a part-time secondment to the Central Lynn as the senior planner for LTC, with a focus on the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care Redevelopment Project. Jennifer is a physiotherapist by profession, so we share something in common. I'm a physio in the OT. So those are going to be our speakers. Ruth, do you want to come to the podium?
Thank you. Great. I don't have slides, so you'll either have to look down or up at me. So as many of you know, DSTO struck the Aging and Lifelong Care Work Group to address what is considered to be a crisis in the developmental services system, the aging of our population as well as their caregivers. In January 2013, the report entitled The Crisis of Aging with a Developmental Disability in Toronto was finalized, and I believe many of you have received a copy of it. Included in the research completed to prepare the aging report, we conducted an online survey of the 37 transfer payment agencies in Toronto in April of 2012. 24 agencies responded to the survey, and I will share some of the highlights of these responses with you now. 16 of the 24 agencies that responded provide residential services to people over the age of 40, and we use the age of 40 as sort of the cutoff for older adults. Feedback indicated that over 1,600 individuals over 40 are being served by 13 of these agencies. Some of the agencies didn't give us numbers in terms of the numbers that they service. 20 of the 24 agencies are providing non-residential supports to people over the age of 40. Over 2,000 individuals are being served this way, according to agency feedback. 17 agencies indicated that they provide specialized services or supports to people over 40. These include things like assistive devices such as walkers, building accessibility, and clinical services like audiology. 10 agencies are considering or in the process of developing new supports to individuals over 40. These include specialized older adult recreational and leisure programming, grouping older individuals into accessible housing, as well as encouraging physical activity to proactively deter adult onset diseases. Some indicated that their population of aging adults will grow over the next few years and that they need to develop expertise among their staff to deal with aging issues. Four agencies have a staff committee devoted to aging. One agency has staff with expertise in dementia assessment. 9 agencies made a referral to long-term care in the past year. The total number of referrals from these 9 agencies was 28 in the prior year. And 8 agencies established a working relationship with long-term care. With respect to our question, do you know of any innovative approaches which address issues of aging individuals with a developmental disability? 8 agencies provided examples.
These included partnerships with LTC and CCAC, as well as with professionals that have expertise in geriatrics. One agency recommended a partnership between the Ministry of Health and MCSS to develop long-term care solutions for developmentally delayed individuals. We also asked about barriers faced in providing care to individuals over 40. Serving individuals with dementia was a common response. Also mentioned was overall increased medical needs at a time when ODSP ceases to provide funding for assistive devices, eyeglasses, and dental care. Needing more care as individuals age was another theme common among the responses, including the extra staffing needed to attend medical appointments. From the perspective of a parent, the issue of aging bears multifaceted challenges. From birth, we care for our developmentally disabled children with the hope that they will grow into adulthood with a meaningful and rewarding life. Some of us aim for some form of community or independent living, while others will care for our children at home on a permanent basis. Regardless, the issue of our own aging, as well as the aging of our children, is rarely on the radar as we manage the day-to-day challenges related to health, education, housing, work, and recreation. Then before we know it, our child has grown into an adult, we are past middle age, and we begin to contemplate what lies ahead. The aging report includes several personal stories, which I will not revisit now. Instead, I bring a couple of additional real-life stories to share with you. The names I use are not their real names. Jane is 67 years old with a developmental disability as well as very high anxiety. She lives in a SIL and attends a Seniors Day program. Jane is supported by her SIL worker as well as her family and a case manager. She is at risk medically because of a family history of breast cancer, but because of her anxiety, she refuses preventative care, any medication, hearing aids, as well as a proper and balanced diet. Her changing needs due to her age and medical situation means that she needs to move into a more supportive environment. But to do so means being added to the wait list, which could result in a long wait for the proper housing to become available. To complicate matters, Jane has a pet, so she will not move anywhere that doesn't take pets. Jack is 40 years old, living with a developmental disability and some level of depression. He lives in a low-support SIL and works part-time. His aging parent lives in another city in Ontario and also has some special needs, both cognitively and mentally. In this case, Jack is doing much of the caregiving and as a result has little time for his own social activities. Ideally, Jack and his mother would like to live together, but finding a two-bedroom apartment through the DSO is difficult, assuming that the parent even qualifies. And an LTC facility may not be appropriate for Jack at this stage in his life. The result is a significant amount of stress both for Jack and his parent. In my own personal situation, we are lucky to have our 29-year-old daughter living in a SIL not too far from our home. Actually, her picture is on the front of that atlas that Sandy mentioned. She is very independent, works for Common Ground, takes TTC independently, and cooks and shops with minimal supports. However, I woke up on January 1st of this year with the realization that she turns 30 this year, and aging won't be long upon us. Our daughter has Down syndrome, as was mentioned, so we can anticipate, unfortunately, early age-related changes to her cognitive skills. And since her siblings live far away with no plans to return to Toronto, it is up to my husband and I, along with her supporting agency, to manage her lifelong care. Will this still be the appropriate environment for her as her skills deteriorate? We don't know the answer to that question, but we hope that there will be appropriate choices for us as her needs change, and potentially as our ability to provide care as we age changes. For those parents who choose to have their developmentally disabled child live with them through adulthood, or who do so due to the inability to secure a spot in a supportive living environment, the challenges of aging are significant, especially as medical advancements result in longer life expectancy. Bathing an adult is less fun than bathing a child. Safety can become an issue, and our ability to care diminishes as we age. Supports are needed to ensure that wherever our aging children reside, they are safe, happy, and lead fulfilling lives. Elder care services are needed no differently than the rest of the population, and LTC should be an option only when necessary for any aging adult, regardless of their cognitive ability. And consideration must be given to the impact change may have on an individual with a developmental disability. For someone who has lived at home or in a highly supported living environment, the move to another location, such as an LTC, can be very traumatic. An LTC environment, even if appropriate for an aging individual, is very different than a home environment, and transition should be handled accordingly to minimize the trauma. And consideration needs to be given to the underlying changes to an individual's daily life as a result of this type of move, including the loss of access to friends, recreational pursuits, and potentially even a job. As parents, we believe the ministries involved in the support of developmentally disabled adults as they age, specifically MCSS and HELP, as well as other supporting agencies such as CCAC, need to develop appropriate strategies to serve this population. A coordinated and multifaceted approach is critical and needed now. The statistics of our aging population in Toronto bear this out. As our report identifies, as of the end of 2012, 134 developmentally disabled adults in Toronto are being cared for by individuals over the age of 81. Various models should be considered and underlying funding established. For example, many of our children have registered disability savings plans, and these funds need to begin being drawn at age 60. How best to use these funds? These are topics to bear consideration. We hope that the discussions today, and what we hope will continue in the future, will bear fruit in closing the gap on this crisis so that parents feel confident that their children will be properly cared for life. Thank you.